is going to hell.
We're going to really take a hard, critical look at the people that society's decided to hate, the billionaires, the dictators, the CEOs.
On Gas Digital Network.
We know that there are bad things in the world, there are bad people, and thank God for them.
Won't you join him?
What's good without evil? I'm literally, I've not taken a subway in a month.
I will only take a subway if my friends are like,
yeah.
They say it first, like, yeah, right. We'll take the subway. I'm like, well, fuck.
And you'll be with a group of people, and sometimes it's embarrassing to suggest an Uber. People are like, no, why?
The train's 10 minutes. There's traffic. I was like, I don't fucking care.
They're like, we're on the platform. I'm like, who cares? I will say on the platform if a train hasn't came. Let's just go upstairs and get an Uber because
as soon as I swipe, I'm like, it's not too late. We could leave right now.
Yeah, it's I hate being underground in a subway with no control. Even though I don't have any control in an Uber, I feel better above ground with like the window down.
I could just like hang out. I just sit back there. Never Uber pool ever either.
No, I don't like Uber pool. And it's not, you know, Big J had a great point. He's like, no, it's not faster. I don't care about it. It has nothing to do with speed. I'm not racing. It's door-to-door luxury.
Yeah.
So it's not the speed. I don't care. My friend's like, it's actually 7 minutes faster to take the subway. Who cares? We're in hell.
I'll leave earlier. Yeah, I don't care.
We're literally in hell, you know? good evening, everybody. Good morning, whatever. It's early. I don't know when you listen to this. I imagine my people listening to it in the middle of the night. Preparing for court.
2 a.m.
on their way to family court. They're like, here we go. I'm here with Joe Santagato, who's a entertainer. That's the name.
Sure.
Yeah. Right? It's the general name.
I don't really have like a thing that I call myself.
Yeah, well, you're incredibly successful at what you do. We're going to talk about that. I met you. I did videos for Elite Daily.
Right.
Which was an honor. And I did... such classic videos as "What is a Fuck Boy?" We all remember that. And that's the thing with Elite Daily. So you would show up. I was doing comedy then a few years. You would show up to like a nice office on Park Avenue South. They'd have like, you know, all of these places always have like great infrastructure. Like they'd have studios and green screens. And then you'd show up and they'd be like, okay, this is which Disney character would you like to fuck? Take one.
That was literally...
It's literally what it was.
Exactly what it was. Yeah.
And the lady, they would ask me, they'd be like, will you write jokes for this? And I'd go, no, I'm not going to write jokes. Like,
I would just show up and
try to be funny because I don't, it didn't seem to me that what you would write jokes for. Like, right. I was like, this doesn't, I'm not going to, like, I write jokes in a weird way. I do it like on stage in front of audiences, talking to them and like kind of, I write it first and then I form, but I'm like, I think I can wing it.
Right. Yeah.
In the who wants to be a fuck or who what is a fuck boy?
It was just like funnier that way too. I feel like if people were writing jokes, it was just,
the videos were, some of them were okay. A lot of them weren't great. I was never like really proud of.
No, because it's all that like super BuzzFeed.
Well, yeah, it was
millennial.
It was always it was always driven by whatever was trending. Right. And the need to capitalize on that.
They tried to make me do one on matcha tea. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, right.
I was like, I don't even know what the fuck that is. Like, I was like, I've never had that.
Yeah, but it was on. It was probably trending.
Yeah,
what? And they were just like, let's do it. They'd be
it was
like,
literally, whatever articles were doing the best that week on the site.
Right,
like, we're gonna do this.
Right, they would just. All right. Yeah, they would be like, all right, everybody. Trans people and kale. Go. Go. Let's go.
What is the difference?
What is the difference between trans people and kale? This is a... And I remember they would pay you $50, which at that time I was like, oh, I'll take this. And now I just see how sad like a period of my life that was where I was like, oh my God, how tragic that was. Where I was like, and I'd have to ask them, and they were all like 19, these kids. They were like 20 years old.
Right. Do you remember how weird I had to do auditions?
Yes.
I was like 21 sitting there. And like,
to audition all these desperate comedians who are like 10 years older than
and
you.
And I'm sitting there like, what the fuck do I know about, like, you know what I mean? I'm just like, whatever. Because I got a list of comedians that were in the area. And these
in the area, New York City, everybody. Yeah. Yeah.
So I was just sitting behind this fucking desk, and then people would come in, and they would just I was asking. It was basically like one of the first videos I think we did. I don't remember what it was about, but I would ask these questions, and they would just rattle off jokes, and I'd have to like be like, okay, that guy was funny, or this person wasn't, or whatever.
Yeah.
I was just like,
yeah, what is this? It's interesting. Well, you are so successful. I was watching your, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, I was looking at your channel on YouTube. You have over 2 million subscribers on YouTube.
Right.
Subscribers, which is so insane. Your podcast, The Basement Yard, is like always in the top 10 overall on iTunes. Amazing.
I don't know if that is.
Top 20. It's huge. It's always.
It's way better than I thought it would
be. It's amazing. And your average viewers, and this is, I was in LA and I was talking to people about this, which I find amazing. Your average hits on your YouTube video is like 1.5 million. That is more eyeballs on your videos than CBS is getting on a primetime sitcom that they dump millions of dollars into. It's amazing.
That's wild.
And you're,
I didn't even know
and you're, well, they're getting, on some of these shows now, to be considered like a good show, it's like you get a million viewers.
Right.
So you're getting more eyeballs on videos that you make from your basement than CBS. They've hired writers, producers, they've secured talent, you know, and they've got big contracts out, they're paying people. So it is amazing. And so the question is like, is this, I think this is like the new famous. And you're the, like, do you feel famous?
I definitely don't. I definitely still feel like it's, I don't know. There are people who do what I do, and they all move to LA when they're like fucking 16 years old, drop out of high school, and just fucking whatever. They start wearing leather clothes and shit for no reason.
Right.
But they feel a certain way about themselves, and there was these events that you would go to, basically like meet and greets.
Yeah, MagCon.
Right.
Chasing Cameron. I watched it. It's a great. I watched every episode.
Did you really?
I've told my agents. If I'm not in Chasing Cameron season 2, I will kill myself. In WME, I will blow my brains out. In WME, I've emailed them all that. All right. They haven't responded.
You did this.
Yeah. I loved that show. It was fascinating in a way that, like, and they're all great looking. All these kids are, the majority of them are insanely good looking. And it was a fascinating thing to watch.
But it was like, I don't even know what it was about. It was just like his day-to-day life.
Well, it's, you didn't watch it?
No, I didn't.
So it's just, it's about this meet and greet convention that they have.
Oh, they have.
And it's just,
isn't it like ridiculous though? Because like I went to these things, and at first I went because I was like, I had no money. Like the first 3 years, I think, when I was doing YouTube.
Yeah.
I got flagged for something.
Yeah.
And like none of these networks like that control your YouTube account like didn't exist back then.
Okay.
So I got flexed. So the first 3 years I could not make any money, but I just did it because I was like, this is like a good opportunity. Like the right person sees it, blah, blah, blah. So I wasn't making any money. And then I met these kids that were from New Jersey that were doing YouTube, and they were like, oh, there's
what
these
year
events.
Is this?
This was 2012, 2013.
Okay.
And they were like, oh, if you, there's these events that you can go to like meet and greets and they'll pay you to go. And then people come meet you or whatever. And for the most part, it's like these young, impressionable girls who are just screaming in your face.
Right.
They don't know anything about, you know what I mean?
Well, Cameron Dallas went to Italy. There's a scene where he closes down Italy. Like, he closes down a street in Milan because it's similar to, like, you know, I mean, the Beatles or Elvis or, you know, any of the boy bands from the 90s. Like, that level of hysteria, it was fascinating to watch. It was amazing.
Yeah, and I that makes me uncomfortable. Like, I really don't like that at all. Like, I'm not that type of person. So I would go to these things.
So you really look at that and you go, that's not what I want.
No, not at all. Okay. I don't like that at all. It's not that I don't like meeting people either, because if I'm out at a bar, if I'm walking on the street, someone's like, hey, what's up? Like, I'm friendly. Like, I'm not like, oh, please, God, my sunglasses on.
Right.
Walk away. I'm not like that. But just to be in an environment, like, sign up to have people around you, like, screaming and just, I think treating you, I just don't feel that important. And the fact that you're doing that, it actually gives me like anxiety. Like I get, I freak out.
So what's amazing about Chasing Cameron is like these guys will go out and they're not singers, but they'll sing. They'll sing songs.
Right.
Like Cameron Dallas he's recorded music where he's like, you know, she bad, I'm bad. You know, the Instagram, the DMs. I don't know what the song is. I imagine that's pretty much it. But, you know, slide in my DMs. I'm going to, whatever.
Exactly.
But again, huge, like, people are listening when they love it. But they'll, some of these guys will go out and, like, it's amazing because some of them go out there on stage because there is a, there is like a talent portion of the meet and greet.
Right.
Where it's a show. So then, like, they'll go out and they literally just, they play a song in the background and they, like, jump around. Yeah. They like, throw water bottles at each other. I'm like, I don't know what this. So that's what's fascinating to me, because I'm like, I spend my time around people that are like, every, we do comedy usually every night, mm-hmm. multiple times a night, and we try to get good at a thing, and it's a very specific thing, and it's a thing that no one really gives a fuck about. It's kind of dying. It's kind of like you would, like, I imagine this was like what happened to jazz people. Like, I'm gonna play this clarinet, and everyone's like, can you
put the saxophone down?
Yeah, because stand up comedy is what makes it special. Is that it's this, you know, the thing you're really driven to do. But it's like, but then, and so for me to be confident on stage, it kind of took a while. It's like, I got to get good at something to be confident, because it's like, I've developed this. But then I watch these kids run out who have no, and I'm like, this is amazing. That level of confidence, because that is something. Like, it is impressive to me.
I don't know if it is.
Though. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's like a confidence, or it's just like, to me, it just feels like a big power trip. Like, they just, yeah. they know they control this audience of, because right. girls at that age, it's just like anyone who has like a fucking tall haircut or whatever, right. like, I'm down.
Six pack, yeah.
Yeah, I'll do whatever. You
right.
know what I mean? And that's just because
they're all kind of homogenous. Trend. Like, they all look like they all have a very similar aesthetic.
And they have the same path. It's like they, yeah. they have their aesthetic, whatever, and then right. they move to LA and then they dye their hair bleach blonde.
Do you know any of these guys? Because you're in a community with these people in the sense, right. of, well, YouTube's a huge community. So right. you're in a community with everybody. Do you know, how much do you interact with other people in the YouTube community?
Not really.
Okay.
And I'm not really recognized by it either.
Okay.
Like, they don't, a lot, I mean, even the people who like watch my stuff, they don't really call me a YouTuber.
Right.
Just because that's like a certain mold that right. people are.
Like a Vine, because a lot of these guys came off Vine.
Right.
So like,
too.
So that whole Vine star thing, and you're not doing that. You're not like jumping on a bed, taking
no.
your shirt off.
No.
Like, you know what I mean? And you're a great looking dude. You could do that, but it's not your, that's not like your brand.
No, and I got 15 friends I've known since pre-K. If I ever started doing any of that,
they would
shit.
Be like, they,
oh
so they
God,
keep you ground. Well, you're
right.
the Queens guy. That's kind of also part of your
yeah.
appeal, is that you're like the accessible everyman.
Right, and I feel like
social media star. But you are a star. Your numbers are with anybody's. You're up there with most of these kids.
They're pretty good.
Cameron has surpassed you. I would love his podcast. Would you imagine Cameron Dallas's podcast?
Oh, I would.
Could you imagine an hour a week of that?
I don't even know what it would what would happen there.
I mean, it would be something, you know. But it would just hear like a bed going like this. You're like,
yeah.
he's jumping on the bed. It's like, you have to talk into the microphone. It's auditory. No,
this
you
is
just
a
have
different
to,
thing.
Yeah, you have to talk. I know you can keep your shirt off if you want, but it's a. So take me like through the origin story of kind of like what makes you, because stand up comics are, a lot of us are, most of us, probably all of us are like fucked up people on some level. We're broken in a way, and then comedy comes along and kind of we feel like it can fix us or whatever it is. And that's, I guess that's a lot of people in my business. What makes you go, because you generate a lot of, I hate the word content, but you put out a lot of stuff out there.
Right.
How many videos do you do a week?
It really depends. Like, there's two channels. Usually I try to post every Tuesday on one of them, which
yeah.
for the most part I do.
Okay.
And then there's another channel that's just kind of like day-to-day stuff. It's like little bits, like little funny things that I think of. I'll just like
right.
throw in there. It's
you
not going to be a whole
Santa
video.
Santa Gato Studios, which is like your...
Right. That's just like a hub of like
right.
podcasts and videos
right.
and stuff like that. But yeah, so I do a sports podcast every single week. I do my own podcast every week, and then I do at least one video. But usually it's more than that.
Yeah, but if you're putting out a lot of stuff, you're working really hard. When so why do you get into this? What makes you want to do this? And is it something you stumbled into or?
Yeah, I feel like, so we were saying before how like everyone in like stand-up comedy, like for the most part, are like these broken people. Whatever.
Yeah.
So when I used to record the podcast with Kate Wolf, we used to do it at Stand Up New York.
Yes.
And when I was there, it was funny because I was meeting a lot
Kate
of stand-up comedians.
If you don't know her, is our resident shaman. Comedian shaman, Kate Wolf.
If you need your tarot read.
Yeah, if you want to talk about...
She'll be there.
You know.
All kinds of shit.
Let's talk about
aliens.
What dimension you find yourself in on any given day.
Oh, yeah.
I love Kate.
So when I was there, I was meeting all these comedians and stuff. And I could tell like off the bat that they kind of like... I feel like they didn't like me. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
No, they wouldn't.
Which
they wouldn't.
I understand.
You're good looking, you know? You're successful. Two things, no.
But I just feel like there's
two
like-
negatives. In the world, great. But in our world, it's like, what is his problem?
Well, that's the thing.
You know what I mean?
That's the thing. So like when I was meeting these people, like
this guy
tell-
must have had a great life.
Right.
Nothing. He must have had no pain, nothing. He's been through nothing.
Right. And I always felt like they, you know, they always projected this, I am broken, I can't be in a relationship because I'm a stand-up comedian, I got to fit this mold of sad and unhappy and like whatever. I'm like, there is, like, that is not the only thing there. Like,
right.
I really got started, I mean, don't get me wrong, I've been through some shit, and I
right.
think people would be very surprised by some of the shit that I've been through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't talk about it because I don't really,
well, you,
you
killed
know.
Someone, and many people don't know this.
People don't know I did time.
You know.
It's been hard.
Such a, you know? I don't want to, I mean, I know you have such a huge following and audience, but I don't want them, but you know, you did kill a family with your car. No, I'm kidding.
Imagine,
but,
oh my God, a whole family.
Yeah.
Walk across the street, got them all.
I wasn't even drunk. I was YouTube. I was doing a live stream.
Yeah.
Doing a live stream, and I didn't see this family. But fuck them. Who are they? You know,
10,000 viewers at the time.
I have no idea how engaged my following is.
But this is something I've always been interested in. When I was younger, my parents gave me a camera. Well, it even goes back further than that. When I was super young, my mom had that big rocket launcher camera back in the day. And they have old home videos of me walking up and be like, I want to film or whatever. Like, so I guess from a young age, I was always interested in.
Yeah.
And then I got this camera when I was around 11 or 12, and it recorded on cassette tapes. And me and my friend Frankie, we would shoot skits, and we would do like American Idol skits or like just random shit. A lot of like wrestling matches and stuff like that, like characters or whatever. So I was always like kind of into it. And then when Facebook rolled out that thing where you could leave videos on people's walls and stuff, I was like, oh, I'm going to start doing that. And I always just liked trying to be funny or whatever.
Right.
In my family, people think I'm funny. Like my friends are, all of them are way funnier than I am.
Yeah.
And my family's hysterical. If you came to Christmas, like you wouldn't even know I was there.
Right.
Because they're all hysterical and loud people. So I guess I was like, oh, if I can control this thing and film myself and like put the time in and write jokes or whatever and then put it out, it's like, oh, that's my thing. You know
right,
what I mean? Because otherwise I'm not getting a word in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was always just kind of interested in it. You know?
So when do you start building a channel? And take me through that, because so one of the reasons that I think comedians – I think it's envy, and I think it's a lot of it's jealousy. And some of it, listen, so some of it is like, you do look at what goes on YouTube, and you look at how many people are watching someone do the, you know, like comb their hair.
Right.
And you're like, well, this is kind of crazy. And there's a lot of garbage, but there's a lot of garbage stand-up, too.
Right.
So there's a lot of these stand-ups that are criticizing what's going on YouTube. You watch their act, you're like, oh, this is... You're also putting, you know, something out into the world that has no value.
Right.
You're just doing it in a different medium. So I think a lot of people look at, not only do you have a huge following, you're engaged. They care. I look at your YouTube videos. People are commenting. They tweet you. Their Instagram. All of these networks, they care about you. They feel like you're their friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's a high level of engagement. Stand-ups take years to build that kind of fan base. And many of them, the majority of them, it never, and I know a lot of them listen to this show, it never happens. And you die in a day's in Florida. But that's what makes it special.
Right.
But so tell me about how you start cultivating that type of following.
To be honest with you, and I don't know if this sounds just like naive or whatever, when I first started doing it, I was so young, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like 18.
And how old are you now?
I'm 25.
Okay.
So I was like 18, and I didn't think, like, this is what I'm going to do. You know what I mean? It was just always a thing I did, like, for the majority of my life. So I was like, oh, it's just a place where I could upload them and go back and look at them. Like, the first videos I ever made were videos of, I got this camcorder, and my friend has a summer house in Connecticut. So we would drive there, and all we did was, like, drink by a fire and go on a boat and shit.
It's the best.
So I was just like, oh, I'm going to record this and upload it, and, like, it would be cool to look back on one day.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was just bored one day, and I was like, you know what? I see these videos of people talking about stuff all the time, but they do it in a very, like, oh, positive, everyone should spread positivity. And it's like this nicer.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of like, no, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to curse. I'm not going to censor myself. I'm not going to try to appeal to these young girls who are the majority of the users on YouTube at the time. So I was just like, I'm just going to rant about whatever. And I think the first thing I did was like this most ridiculous video about, like, sluts. It was like the entire video.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I think you can't even find right now.
Okay.
But, yeah, I just kind of
try to find Joe Santagato sluts if you can. I'm kidding. No, but see if it's up. I'd be curious to see, like, what the first.
No, I think I'm pretty sure I privatized it.
I'm sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it was just, like, ridiculous. Yeah. It wasn't good. Like, the editing was
awful.
And this
is 2000.
This is 2011 or 12.
Okay.
And I just did it because I thought it was, like, fun. I just wanted to make my friends laugh. You know, okay. I just did it, and that's what I try to tell people, like. Don't do it being like, this is the thing.
Right.
This is what I'm going to do.
Right.
Because it's going to take a long time. It took me 3 or 4 years
and
before
now,
anything happened.
How religiously are you doing it in that 3 or 4 year period where nothing is happening?
Once a week.
Okay, so once, that's it.
Right.
So one video a week for 3 or 4 years.
Right, but trying to stay active on social media.
Okay, so you're staying active on social media, but that adds up because that's 52 videos a year.
Right.
So now you have, like, you know, to kind of a body of work in the sense that if somebody does discover you and find you, they go back and they're able to watch videos. Do you keep them all up?
Yeah, but the other day I went back and looked at, like, my first videos, and they're just so bad. And
they're cringeworthy.
So, like the most typical, like, I can't even, what's the word? Just predictable, like, corny, hacky shit.
Sure.
It's like, oh, Facebook? And, like, girls suck. Like,
you know
what I mean? Like, shit like that. I like to think that it developed over time.
Right, right.
Those back in the day were terrible. But, yeah, for the most part, I keep most of it up.
And what point is, so 3 or 4 years, what was the turning point where you're like, oh, things are starting to happen. I'm starting to build a following. And I'm starting. And then later on when you started to monetize things. But what was the turning point where you're like, oh, wow, this is something.
I don't know, because it was so slow. There was no, like, you know, there's some people who, you know, a lot of people, what they do, those YouTubers, they will become friends with people inside the community and then just do collab videos with them.
Yeah.
Which are, like, bullshit things. Like, oh, we're going to play a game or some shit.
Right.
And, like, oh, go subscribe to him and also go subscribe to him. Blah, blah, blah.
I have pitched Cameron Dallas a collaboration video and his lawyers have responded. And I think he's not really looking at the artistic angle of what I've talked about doing.
I would love to hear this.
Yeah. No, but so a lot of these guys, like, cross promote.
Yeah.
And they're all kind of buddies, and that's how they get a following. But you weren't like that.
I never did that. Because I was like, I don't find a place for these people to fit into what I do. Like, for the most part, to me, up there doing a quote-unquote, like, edited stand-up in a way. Where it's just me. There's no music. There's no, you know, crazy background. There's no crazy production. It's literally a camera and me, and that's it.
Right.
But... Yeah, so they do that thing where they just cross promote, and, you know, I think the reason why, like, I have 2 million subscribers, but the views are very high for the amount of subscribers that I have.
They're huge.
And for the most part, people have 3 million subscribers, but they'll get 200,000 views. And that's because for the course of their whole career on YouTube, they've been collabing with people, and they get subscribers from some other cute kid going, go subscribe there. And they're like, all right, cool, I'm going here, but I don't really like this person, so I'm not really going to watch him after 2 weeks.
Right. So you're standing on your own.
Right. I didn't want to, like, come up off anybody. And in the beginning, I actually wanted to, where I was like, when I first started, I was like, I'll do a collab with anyone. I don't care what the fuck it is.
Right.
You know, I'll just to get the subscribers. But then after a while, you're kind of like, I don't want to do that anymore.
Right. When do you start making money?
Like 3 years in, but that's because I... wasn't, like I said, I was getting flagged for shit. So I wasn't,
right.
you know, I wasn't doing any of that. So it took a long time for me to start making money to, like, okay, this is my job.
Yeah.
That took even longer. I would say it took altogether maybe 4.5 years.
Right.
Of doing it until you're like, okay, this is like good enough to four and a half to five years where it's like, okay, this is good enough to where, you know, you could, but I was living at home at the time, so I didn't right. need that much money. It wasn't like,
and this was, a lot of these videos are from your basement.
Right. They were from my mom's yeah. basement.
Right. Right.
So, and that was another thing too, that I wanted to keep. When I first started doing it, it was in the basement and I would just hang a bed sheet behind me.
Yeah.
I would literally staple it okay? into the ceiling.
What was that?
Oh, God, oh, please, God, no.
Wait, is it the slut video?
No.
You're just going to play Rent? Was it one of his, at least?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Please don't do that. I hate listening to myself.
Yeah, no, it's all right. People can find him. He's got enough subscribers. We're not trying to help him. Nuts. So you're doing him from a basement, you're hanging the sheet, like you said.
I was hanging the sheet. I was putting thumbtacks into my ceiling. They're still in there in my mom's basement, like, holes all over the place, just so there was like a blank background. And then after a while I got rid of that, and then I was just shooting them in my mom's basement. And I thought it was like cool at the same time to shoot them there, because it also, like, I kind of wanted to let people know that there's a lot of bullshit that goes on in this platform, and people who are coming up feel like, oh, I have to do that, I have to do these challenge right. videos, I have to, you know, this is what you have to do to succeed on YouTube.
Right.
And I was like, you know what, fuck that. Like, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I like to do.
Yeah.
And there's not going to be any bells and whistles.
And you know what's interesting about these videos is, like, a lot of these other kids, they make videos in their room. There's something, you feel close to somebody if you're, like, in their space.
Right.
You know what I mean? There is something about that where it's like you're watching a video. People are watching you in your room, in a basement, you're hanging out with your buddy, talking about, they feel close to you. And they feel, I think we're living this weird time now where there's a lot of people out there, they're kind of lonely.
Yeah.
And I think there's maybe isolated in a way geographically in every other way. And I think they become kind of friends with the people on YouTube. And they're like, they see you and you're like hanging out on your couch and they're like, oh, this is Joe. And this, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's an interesting thing. Whereas if you were like in a theater, if you were doing something, it would be different. They would feel like there's more layers between you and them.
Right, exactly. And that's what I try to go for across the board for anything that I do.
Yeah.
So like with the sports podcast, we kind of want it to be like, we don't want it to be how sports is broadcasted now, where it's like these dudes in suits that are like older and, you know, they're just being very PC and stuff. Like,
right.
We want it to be like, when you think of sports fans, it's like, yeah, Tom Brady's got a dumb fucking haircut and guy or whatever, you know?
Right.
Or like, this guy fucking blows, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like breaking down that whole, I don't know, is it the third wall? I don't fucking know.
But yeah, no,
like,
sure, yeah.
It just makes it feel like more real, you know what I mean? It's never going to be something like a news anchor where they do that voice. Like,
yeah.
I never understood that. Like, just fucking talk like a person.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's what I always wanted it to feel like, because I think that makes for better, it's just like more comfortable. You know what I mean? Whenever I go into a meeting and I'm like nervous or whatever, the first thing I'll do is curse, like off the bat.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so they know, like, okay, this is what we're going to do. You know?
Yeah, this is the frequency we're on.
Yeah, exactly.
Do your parents at any point when you're like, I'm going to be a YouTube star,
right,
I'm going to do this, what do they say? Because they're like, I would imagine you're somewhat old school Queens, Italian.
Right.
Are they like, you know, this, what are you doing? Are they kind of like, you know?
Yeah, they have no fucking idea. But when I first started, so I was in college, and I only did a semester, and then I signed up for another semester, and I literally would drive to, I went to Queensborough Community College.
Yeah.
And I would drive
there.
It's
a fine institution.
Yeah, fine institution.
Fine institution.
Very hard to get into,
by the way. A lot of DJs have graduated from there. Yeah.
Very hard to get into.
Yeah.
I had to apply a week before.
Very tough.
Started.
You literally have to get out of jail first and then
it's
enroll.
So tough.
Yeah.
So I would drive all the way there and then park outside and be like, I can't even fucking go in there anymore.
Wow.
And I just like couldn't do it. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm not like a lazy kid. I signed up late to classes. Like I said, literally maybe 2 weeks before classes started, I applied to that school and got in.
Yeah.
So I had Saturday and Sunday math classes at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And this was like when I was 18, 19, where I was like, I want to just be out drinking and shit.
Right.
But I couldn't, because I never missed a math class.
Yeah.
So it wasn't about that, and I had good grades and shit, and I was just like, I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And And then I told my parents I was doing another semester, and I just wasn't going.
Right.
And then, you know, I had this YouTube thing, but I never once told them, like, oh, I'm going to be a YouTuber. Because I didn't even know what that was yet.
Right.
I just liked doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they were pissed, obviously, where I was like, I'm not going, like, I'm dropping out of college.
Yeah.
They were just kind of like, if you're dropping out, like, you're going to have to work harder than everyone else. Like, you're at a disadvantage. You know what I mean? And that was the only time in my life that I felt like, am I wrong? Like, fuck it. Like, because all my friends were away at college. And, living their lives and bettering themselves. And I'm just kind of like, I'm just not.
And you're in a basement.
Right. Making these videos and working at a pizzeria.
Right.
So I was just kind of like, fuck. And then I just did it over time, and it was slowly like building steam. And my parents were very supportive. Like,
right.
You know, they were kind of like, okay, we, you know, believe in you that you could do this thing and whatever. But at the same time, you got to work. You got to do something. You got to work towards something. They were just happy that I had a thing that I was working towards that could potentially be something big. It wasn't like, I'm just going to work at the pizzeria and do that for the next 6 years or whatever.
Right.
So I did that. And then, like
I said, like the Queen's dream. One day I'll own that pizzeria.
Yeah.
I'm going to own that. I'll buy it for you, Ma.
Yeah. Delivering pizzas. Yeah. Like,
I'll buy the pizza. So now you're doing well. You're making good money now.
Right.
You're making good money.
Yeah.
And you brought your buddies in, and you have them doing podcasts on your network. And you're like, you know, I don't want to use the word mogul, but you're, you know, you want to build something. You've built something.
Right.
Where do you go with this? Now, you have the subscribers, you have the views, you know, you have an engaged group of people. And this is interesting, because so I'll go to LA and I have these meetings with people, and they'll go, like, sometimes they'll bring in social media guys, and they go, it's frustrating because some people, what they do does not translate into any other medium. It's like, well, you can't jump on a bed on HBO for an hour. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to work. What is the goal, and do you want to take this following and fan base that you have and then go other places with it, bring it to other mediums?
Yes and no. I like to just create and build things from the ground up.
You have creative autonomy, total freedom.
I can pretty much do whatever I want and just try to build it from the ground up.
Yeah.
So with, like, the sports podcast, for instance, I have a Facebook page that has 4 million likes on it, right?
Yeah.
I never once has posted that on there.
Right.
Because it's not for that. You know what I mean? It's not where that should go.
Right.
So, but I like building it from the ground up and being like, okay, we'll see if we could do this now.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of how I treat everything. I wake up I don't wake up every single day doing this, but if I wake up one day and I'm like, okay, now I want to write a scripted show, like, I'll just work on that for the next few months.
Right.
And then see if that happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's
is that an interest of yours?
It is an interest of mine, and I do have a slight idea for one, which I actually had you in mind for one of the characters.
Let me tell you right now, I will do anything that you let me tell you right now. I just want to let everybody know, I will do anything that you want me to do. If you wanna bring me to your basement and just throw tomato sauce on me for a video, I will absolutely do it. If you just put my Instagram handle, 100%. I will blanket yes, just to make. If you ever imagine me, just go, he'll do. I'm performing tonight in a brewery in Riverhead. I'm going to do an hour of comedy in a brewery in Riverhead, Long Island. An hour in that environment. So anything that you want me to do, I'm in, 100%. Yeah.
So I have like an idea for a scripted show. I haven't worked on it as much as I should have.
Yeah.
But that is definitely a thing. I also want it, like, with the podcast, with the Santa Gata Studio thing.
Yeah.
I want it to be like a podcast network in a way where there's these different things, but they all have that overall theme of, there's not going to be like, I am this person and you are just viewers. It's kind of just like an open conversation, very real, none of that. So there's like a bunch of different
things. Are people, because you have this platform, are people messaging you being like, Joe, I'm going to kill myself. Joe, here's my nudes. Like, how much of that is there? And how hard is it? Are you in a relationship now?
Yeah.
Is it weird for a girl? And are you getting those photos? Are you getting stuff? I mean, you have to be.
It happens, but
maybe.
It's like, you know.
What do you do? And because some of these guys get in trouble. Some 16-year-old girl sends something, you're like, I'm open to snap. I don't know. So how do you handle that?
To be honest with you, and this sounds, I just don't like care that much about that part.
Okay. Well, of course. Okay.
You know what I mean? And
did you ever at any point, was that ever exciting?
Oh, 100%. Like, when I was 19, 19, 20, 21
Are you just getting nudes from all over the world?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and it's just like...
From all over the world. See, people will send me...
Australian tits.
People will send me a picture of a crab cake they had. It's true. And they'll go, and they'll tell me, they'll be like, this is a real Maryland crab cake. What you put up the other day was not.
Yeah.
Fuck Long Island. And I'm like, well, this is an interesting use of this platform. But so you're getting 19 years old, you're getting nudes from all over the world.
Yeah. And I...
So let's be honest. Your jerk-off material is international.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It was great at the time.
Crazy.
But I mean...
Are you going further than that? Are you like doing... Webcam stuff, or are you like not really
webcam stuff's heavy.
I know. So there's nobody that gives you a nude and you're like, I want to see this person on camera. that never happens.
No, I don't think so.
Interesting. Okay.
Unless there was a person who I was talking to for like a long period of
substantial
time.
Right.
Yeah.
But then you'll do that.
I mean, yeah, I've done that before.
Yeah, okay, right, okay. It's
because they're not like strangers. That I'm like, nice tits. What's your Skype?
No. Okay, I got you. Okay, yeah. So, if you were talking to somebody for a period of time,
right.
What would be the period of time that would be appropriate? What would you think? I'm just curious.
It's more of just like when you build that,
you build a rapport. You text somebody sends you a nude, and you go, "Hey, I also like 30 Rock." I don't know what the conversation is. And you go, but at what point do you go like, hey, why don't we go on Skype and let me see, like let's see what happens here.
I honestly couldn't tell you. I honestly don't even know for sure if that's ever happened with someone who I don't like know personally, like in person.
Okay, interesting.
Right. I don't know if that's ever happened. I always just kept it, you know.
Because YouTuber just got in trouble for that. I mean, it was like a child porn thing.
Kid, yeah.
Remember that guy?
Yeah, that guy.
It was like a week ago, and he was like, show me you're my biggest fan.
He's like, tell me you're 14. Like, that is fucking...
Oh!
Yeah, it was
crazy.
It was bad.
So, I tell everyone on the internet, tell me you're not 14.
Yeah.
Legally, I have to hear that you're not.
Right.
But, so... So you get news from all over the place.
Right.
How many? Let's just numbers. What are the numbers on that? What do you think Cameron? Cameron Dallas
crushing it, man.
Gets
because, but here's the thing too. Because like now, honestly, in the past, like I would say 3 years,
right?
It does not happen that much,
right?
And I think that's because.
Well, I sent some this morning, but why?
I haven't opened those. That's the reason why I haven't seen them. So I don't like. Snapchat is where people are, you know, the most brave because they disappear.
Okay, they disappear.
I mean?
We think, but the NSA has them.
Yeah.
Somebody has them.
Someone's got
nobody,
them.
Nothing disappears.
See that episode of Black Mirror.
Right.
Yeah.
Nothing really disappears,
it's all
right?
There. It's in the cloud, whatever the fuck that means.
Somewhere,
I still don't know what that is, by the way.
But so you're not getting them as much now. Why? Is it conveniently because you have a girlfriend now they don't come?
I think so, but also it's also because my fan base has completely changed.
It has.
It's a lot older now.
What happened? So what happened? It was
Facebook that changed it. Because YouTube, for the most part, like my friends, they're like, fuck your videos. You know what I mean? Because like everything I say in my videos, it's like, that's just what I say when I'm trying to be funny anyway. So
they've heard
it all before. Like, yeah, whatever, your fucking stupid videos.
Yeah.
So they don't watch it. But they are my age. They don't have YouTube channels. They don't have accounts. They don't know how to do any of that.
Right.
So the interaction's never there.
Right.
And the people who were interacting were the young people, but I don't really necessarily make content for them.
Do you think, so being able to put your stuff on Facebook and Facebook videos and Facebook Live, is that kind of what you mean?
Not Facebook Live, but I was working at Elite Daily and then I quit that job.
Yes.
And then after I quit that job, I would directly upload my videos to Facebook because they have like an algorithm where they'll throw those videos up before YouTube.
Like, yeah.
Because they don't want you to leave the site.
Yes.
So I would directly upload them like a day after I would upload on YouTube. And those videos would get shared a lot.
Yeah.
And because a lot of the younger generation isn't on Facebook anymore, they go right to Twitter.
Right.
Like some of them have never had Facebook.
And even Twitter's weird now. I feel like that's even kind of dying.
I don't know. I think Twitter's doing pretty well.
Yeah, well, I think now because we're in this really politically charged
climate. People love
Snapchat
now. That's like a thing. And I don't really like
Snapchat. To me, I like Facebook and Instagram. And I don't tweet a lot. I'll tweet like once a week.
Right.
I tweet promotional things that come see the show.
Yeah.
Come, you know, see me. I'm at Zany's in Nashville. Come out Friday through Sunday, whatever. But like there's no, I'm not a Twitter guy because I can't, like, it's weird. I don't translate in those little, in like 140 characters. I don't feel like I'm ever being that funny. And then there are dudes that do it all day and are just very good at kind of, but like, cause sometimes you'll tweet like, I love sweet potato fries, and it'll get 5,000 retweets, and I'll turn around to three comics and go, look at that. and cause they have spent hours crafting this brilliant, like, it'll be funny and it's gonna take down the patriarchy in one tweet or whatever they fucking think they're doing. And then I'll be like, and you'll be like, hello, and it's like 10,000 retweets.
Right.
So it is fascinating that just as a medium that like somebody sees what you write and go, I also, like somebody out there, this is the thought process, they go, I also like sweet potato fries. And then they retweet it. They go like that.
There you go.
So to me, that's fascinating. That to me is like, we're entering an interesting part of whatever the human race is, that's even a thing.
Well, the thing is now, like with social media, people just like, they don't even know what they're doing. They just do it because it's like, this is what people do. Like, I'm retweeting this. I don't even know why I am.
Right.
Fuck it. You know what I mean? I could tweet something just has nothing to do with anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or like an inside joke with my friends and people retweet it and like, you don't even know what I'm talking about.
Do you feel the pressure to be political now or to be like, because it is a crazy where it's any social media network you go on now, people from all sides are enraged. Like everyone's on fire on social media every day.
Yeah.
About, you wake up, today I woke up 8 a.m., I'm in my bed, I look at my phone and it's like, my aunt is on a screed about the 25th Amendment, which will remove Trump from all. And I'm like, you are unemployed. Like, you yourself do not have a job. And I understand that you don't like Trump, but like, you need to get a job and not focus on. Like, do you feel any pressure to like be political?
I don't really, because.
Does it ever get weird? Because some of your videos are just, they're all funny. And does it ever get weird where it's like, we're at war with North Korea, or like we're edging towards war with North Korea, and then you're like, it's Mad Libs. We're going to do Mad Libs now. And you know what I mean? It's like we're on the precipice of nuclear war.
So I don't, like, when stuff like that happens, especially on the day of, like I won't post. If it happens the day before, I'll post the next day.
Okay.
But I
Because you're like
post
a self-aware
Tuesday.
Guy.
Yeah. Like,
in a way
I
that
don't...
these other guys aren't.
Yeah, because like.
Cameron doesn't care.
No, he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
He just, you know.
Shit bad. Slide him. Like, we could be in nuclear war. He'd be like, you slide my DMs. I DM you back. And then whatever happens, we get a juice. I don't know. But.
Right. So on like, the 4th of July just passed. I won't post on days like that. Like,
okay.
You know what I mean? Or when the election was happening, that day happened to be a Tuesday, which is the day that I post. So I was like, I'm not posting this day. You know what I mean? I just felt like people should pay attention or whatever.
Do people come at you? And
people do come at me and be like. They want to know my opinion. And
right.
It's like, that's not what I'm here for. Like,
right.
I have my opinions. Like,
right. Of course.
In my life. I'm
right.
Not, I don't need to share. Like,
yeah.
I don't feel responsible.
Right.
Or when people were tweeting Kylie Jenner, like, oh, where are you now with your, like, why are you going to get your political news from Kylie Jenner?
Right.
Like, that's not what she's there for.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not what she does.
So, right.
Even if she said her opinion, like, are you going to be like, yep.
Yeah, no, I know,
I
and it's interesting because I know you have a lot to say about the Jews, but I've never seen it on your YouTube channel. Like, I've been in Ubers with you, and it's just Jews. You know, it's like, I remember the first time I met you, you're like, can't we ask the hard questions about their loyalties as a people? I'm like, this is really different than stuffy. No, but so, because like, as a comedian now, I'm so inundated with it. Like, my act is not political. It's not.
Right.
I talk about things that are social issues, and I talk about what's happening. Like, I mentioned where we are as a country, like what's happening to us as a people, and whatever. I mean, it's not like my act isn't all just fluffy. It's real shit, but it's not explicitly political. Like, I don't go up there because I perform all over the country.
Yeah, project your views on
I'm trying to make everybody laugh, whether you voted for Trump or Hillary or whether you didn't vote. I feel like a lot of my people just don't vote. Like, whoever you are, I'm trying to make you laugh. But there's a lot of comedians now that feel like comedy is their platform to affect social change, which to me doesn't make a ton of sense.
No.
Because every comic and every actor and actress went out there and said, don't vote for Trump, and he still won. So if anything, I feel like they almost hurt the case. Like, by going out there, it's like you almost hurt the case because people, it's just what you do. what we do, and we do different things. We're kind of in the same business. It's almost not that relatable to people. And I feel like if you're making $20 million a movie and you're living in a gated mansion in Malibu and you come out and then you try to tell everybody, like, this is the way it is, people are like, oh, we don't really want to, from you, we don't want to hear it.
Also, why do you want to hear it from anyone? Like, go out right. and just get your information. Yeah, like, I don't really talk about it because I admittedly don't know as much as I should know.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm not going to just go out there and just, like, project some bullshit.
Do people know that your uncle is George Zimmerman who killed Trayvon Martin? Have you ever disclosed that? Or is that...
Uncle George.
You know what I mean? And there's so many photos with you and him, and I remember...
Christmas card, everything. Yes. Great guy, but, you know.
But, like, is that a thing where, like, people will tweet you and be like, you know, take a stand on this?
It doesn't happen that often, but...
Right.
I mean, the past election was so, like...
So divisive.
Historic. It was just like, they were like, where's your opinion? Someone actually sent me an email that was like... Fuck you. I know you voted for Trump and like this whole long thing.
Right.
I know you won't talk about it because you're afraid of dividing your audience and shit. And I was just like, where is this? I don't talk about it at all.
Right.
To the point that like, where did that come from?
You know what I mean?
I'm just like, I have no idea. But yeah, I'm just different when it comes to that. Like, I'm not looking to celebrities.
Yeah.
You know, Denzel Washington, I don't care who he votes. That's going to affect my opinion.
Right.
You know what I mean? Not that I even have one, because I'm not educated enough to have one. So he could say Trump sucks, but I'm not going to just be like, yep, he does, because Denzel Washington said it. I want to know if he sucks to me.
Well, my whole thing now is like, I have a podcast where I talk about stuff, and I go, if you really want, like, my whole thing is like, I don't do it on stage. I don't do it on Twitter. I'm not going to be on Twitter all day tweeting every single, like, every time a cop does something horrific, and I'm like, oh, I don't agree. Like, this is crazy. And like, I have a podcast where I'll talk about these in a nuanced way for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Or it'll be a part, not for the whole hour, but it'll be a part of it. And it's like, if you really want to know what my, like, I've only been doing this for a year. We're doing decently, and you know, our numbers are pretty good for a year. And it's like, kind of like, just listen to that. Like, I have 52 hours of, like, you'll get an idea of how I feel. I'm not going to, in 140 characters, I'm not going to tell you I'm a good person every 5 minutes. Like, hey, I'm against racism.
Yeah.
Stop. #EndRacism. It's like, I feel like people are telegraphing that constantly. And it's like, oh, maybe you have a problem where you're like constantly out there. Like, all these guys in the comedy community, they're constantly like, I'm a male feminist and that joke's offensive. They're all accused of rape later. Then it's like they're like rape. So it's like, I wonder how it is in the YouTube community, because in this big community of like people that are like the Vine Star contingent, those guys that are in LA, then you have like the alt-right guys that are like political, and it's like you have like a 21-year-old kid in like a suburban bedroom being like, the immigrants are coming, it's Western civilization, it's gonna fall, we're all, you know what I mean? They're talking about the Crusades, and they're like 23, and they live in like Morristown, New Jersey, you know? And it's like, you look outside their window, and it's just this bucolic suburb, and they're like, we're in a war! And it's like, Jesus Christ. So it's like, there are all of these interesting, like, do you think that something like happened with this election that really changed the way people like use social media? Because you're in that world a lot.
Right.
Did something happen? Was there a psychic moment, or was there a break? Because people seem to now be using this in a different way than they were.
Were you talking about social media?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think that this election was kind of, I mean, Trump is just a walking...
Right. He's a troll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, people are like making memes of this guy.
Right.
And like doing this and that. And not only that, but this is, I think, the first election where social media is like at its peak. I mean, it's only going up. So
it was one on social media. He weaponized like Twitter and stuff.
Exactly. So it's like, regardless of who was running, I mean, it made it definitely bigger because it was this guy who was just a walking meme that you could just turn into whatever.
Right.
He was making these facial expressions and shit. So it's like, obviously this one got blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
But I just think it has to do with the social media boom.
Right.
In a way. You know?
Does that ever die down? Or is this the reality that we're living in, you think, for the foreseeable future?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because, like you said before, a lot of people are like lonely or whatever.
Yeah.
That's because they're just living on their phones. They're living on all these social media things. They don't really have these conversations in person.
Isn't there something unhealthy about that?
It's very unhealthy.
Right.
And you know, and I even catch myself sometimes where I'm like, I just sat on my phone for an hour and a half, like on my couch.
Yeah.
Do something.
Right.
You know what I mean? But a lot of kids, they do that. Like, I have seen fucking kids 7 years old with iPhone 7 pluses.
Right.
Playing games on Twitter, on Instagram, following God knows what. And they'll tweet Justin Bieber, fuck me, daddy. I'm like, I was afraid of girls back then.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, what the fuck is going on?
And I appreciate you brought up my tweet. But what I... And I've said many times, the subtle persuasion will not work with him particularly.
Right, you got to be fuck me daddy.
But it is weird because this generation of kids grew up in the internet.
Right.
Like all of their greatest moments, their greatest joys, the most fun they've had, is all that they've gotten bullied on the internet. They've met a girlfriend on the internet. It's weird. It's like a strange, it's weird to me. I'm sure that, you know, it's not that weird. And going forward, it's just going to be kind of the way things are. But like, I remember like being afraid of bullies in real life and like meeting people in real life and like going out and, you know, smoking weed on a beach and like, you know, talking to your friend. And the friendships that I value the most are still the people that I see physically.
Right. Yeah, me too. Like,
yeah.
And a lot of these kids, they do the long distance relationships with someone who lives in Vancouver or they have friends that they talk to every day online, like some Twitter account that said a funny joke one day. I tweeted at them and they replied to me, and now we've just been hanging out via the internet for the past couple of years. And it's just, I don't know. I grew up in a time where I'm like on both sides of this. Because when I was growing up, we didn't have a computer. And then when we got one, it's like if you spent more than an hour on it a day, you're like, this guy's a fucking nerd.
Yeah.
Go home and play on your fucking computer, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was never that. And then over time, when I got into high school, that's when Twitter and Instagram and all these things start to pick up steam and become these big things that everyone was on. So it's like you don't want to miss out. So you want to be on these things.
Do you worry about the longevity of what you're doing?
I tell people that all the time. Like that's why I do so much, is because I spread myself out and do I have the podcast and the sports podcast and like all these other things, because at any point everyone goes, you're not funny anymore. Fuck this kid.
Yeah.
It's over.
Because 20 people, like maybe more than that, but made it off Vine, like where they launched themselves into.
Yeah.
But then there were a lot of like middle, like I know guys that had like 100,000 followers on Vine, and then Vine just shut down and they're shot.
Yeah.
These guys are shot. They're like, I don't know. And when they had 100,000 followers on Vine, they were like the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was like, oh, they're crushing it on this thing that now doesn't exist.
Right.
So it's kind of hard. People just lose interest very quickly in something and they just move on to the next thing. But you've kind of been able to kind of, you're everywhere. You're on every medium.
Yeah, I try to do that. Like I said,
how much are you on your phone a day? Like, you're not one of these guys who like, you don't do like a live stream a day. Like a lot of these other guys in LA that we're talking about, every minute they're on their phone. Like every minute.
I just don't find myself that interesting that I have to live stream. You know what I mean? Like, I will put up a video that I think will entertain people.
Right.
But on whatever level.
Yeah.
But me on a live stream, like I'm just going to sit there and like answer your questions. Like,
What were you
going to
say?
Stephen Hawking?
Yeah, like, when I said how long are you on your phone, what were you going to say? You look like,
there was an app that I downloaded, and it tells you how long you're on your phone.
Oh, man.
And I think it was like 4.5 hours a day.
Wow.
Or something like that.
Like, but that's your job. That's your job.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
You know, but I was, and then some days it was like 5.5. I'm like, this is disgusting. I said, just delete the app. I was like, I can't look at this.
Yeah. Do your friends treat you differently at all?
Not at all.
Which is cool. What about your brother? Because I mean, you do stuff with him.
Yeah.
You bring him in. Is he making a living off this, or is he like doing a job?
No, he works in a school. He's a paraprofessional.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So no one treats me differently that I know.
Right.
Like they all know how I am and how they just don't give a shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
That was the best part about living
in
New York City.
This is the weird thing about this new kind of fame, because it's like you're not Ryan Gosling. You're not a movie star.
Right.
And it's weird because the way the world works now, you have this 2 million people that are following you and engaged with everything you're doing online. But it's also like you walk into Starbucks and everyone's like, who the fuck, who cares?
Exactly. And that always made me, I had crazy like social anxiety when this first started happening. Like people on the train will be like, oh, hey, like, whatever. And they'll try to talk to me. And, like, it's already a weird thing.
See, I want that. You don't want that. No, I want to get on the train and have people be like, oh, my God.
But it's easier to explain.
I love you so much. And I want that power where I could just turn everyone on the train and go, kill that guy. And they kill him on the train. And then I'm like, and the cops, like, they're saying use. And I'm like, I didn't say any, you know.
Yeah.
I want that type of power. That's what, like, gets me up in the morning.
But it's so much easier to explain to people.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I do stand-up comedy. Because it's like, oh, okay, cool. But for me, I'm like, I'm a YouTuber. And they're like, the fuck is that? And I'm like, I really don't even know either. I can't
You have any pro? You don't have any, like, friendships with high-profile YouTubers? Are there dudes that can only understand? Because, like, when I talk to another comic, I'll be like, there's certain things me and this other comic can just understand about each other. Is you and Miranda Singh or any of them? Is it like?
No, I don't really talk to anybody who does YouTube. I just don't find them.
When you went to VidCon, what was that like?
I didn't go to VidCon.
Oh, wow.
I went to one thing. It was called Playlist Live, which is like a step down from VidCon.
Yeah.
And it was just mayhem. Like, I hate it.
You didn't like it. It's not for you.
I don't like those people.
Part of your brand is like, I'm in this world, but I'm not.
Right.
I'm this guy, but I'm really not.
I'm like the anti.
I'm eating pizza in Queens, but you're still that guy.
Yeah.
But you're not that guy.
Right, yeah.
How much do you think looks play a part in this?
I would say a big part.
A big part of it.
Yeah.
Because right. Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine that.
I hope, like, this is what I've been hoping. Like, I mean, I think I think looks definitely have a part in it where it's like, that is the initial, like,
reason.
Yeah, people, like, oh, okay, I'm watching this now. And then, right, like, specifically women and girls, whatever.
Do you have gay dudes that are like,
yeah,
I guarantee there's a ton of gay dudes that are like, message you. And they're trying to, like, turn you or whatever. I would imagine.
It's happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, how do you know you're not gay?
I'm like, right.
I just kind of know.
How do you know? Shouldn't we do a test?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. But so that's the initial thing, is like, oh, this is a good looking person. Let me watch them.
Right. And the fact that it's continuously growing and the, you know, subscriber to view ratios decently is good. I hope that means that people are tuning in because it's like, okay, he's not just a fucking Cameron Dallas. Like, I enjoy watching this. I find it entertaining.
Have you ever met any of those guys?
Which guys?
Any of the guys that we're talking about. Any of the MagCon guys?
I've never met any of the MagCon guys.
Yeah.
Because they weren't like a thing when I went to these events. They were,
right.
This was like 2013, 2014.
Right.
So, like, I knew of them, but they weren't like these superstars on the internet.
Okay.
Yet. So, I've never met those kids.
Okay.
Yes, but I stopped going to that. Like, I told my agent, like, I never want to go there. Like, even when he has to go there, he texts me. He's like, I'm at your least favorite place in the world.
Like, what's your relationship like with your agents and stuff? Because I would imagine you're such an independent guy. You've done it all by yourself. And now you have, like, what do you think about the larger business that this is connected to? Are you just kind of like, fuck this? Or are you kind of like, I want to, on some level, be a part of it? Like you said, like, potentially writing a scripted show or whatever, or...
Yeah, I mean, with my agent and with William Morris, I don't. It's not like I'm talking to them every day. I don't rely on them. I don't think anyone's going to help me with anything. Like,
right.
That's why, like, when I was first started doing this, I'm like, I'm not going to.
Opposed, like, I call them every day and I go, help me! I'm in the street. Can you? No, I like my agents. We go. She's no stranger to the knife and fork. She likes to eat, so we go out to eat, and I like her and like. I'm like buddies with her, but that's a weird, like, not everybody's buddies with their agent.
Right. No, and I'm cool with my agent, and he gets it. You know what I mean? Because he knows how I am, and like, I'm not going to do anything because you guys think it's a good opportunity or it pays well. Like,
right.
If I don't want to do it, I'm not going to fucking do it. I don't care.
Yeah.
So he knows that.
Yeah.
And he knows that I'm not impressed by people going like, oh, I worked with this person and that person. Like, I don't give a fuck. Is it good? You know what I mean? Like, that's all I really care about.
Right.
And, he's cool with me turning down a bunch of stuff. And I said that initially when I first went there. I was like, I'm ready to hear 1,000 things and say no to all of them.
How much are you looking to grow what you're doing? Like, how much bigger do you want to get?
I don't know, because I'm comfortable right now.
Right.
And if it just maintains, like, I'm all about maintaining at this point.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to be like, oh, I need 10 million subscribers or anything like that, because with that comes a bunch of weird you know, stuff that
which you don't want.
In. Yeah, I'm not interested in any of that.
You don't want to walk in a deli and have people be like, "Is that Joe Santagato?"
Yeah, because that gives me, it really does give me anxiety because it also makes me
I have
feel
anxiety
like
a- when no one knows who I am, which is always. I get anxiety when people don't.
Well, that's also
such an interesting.
That's also a thing too, because then you're out in public and you're like,
"This is why comics hate." So certain social media people, because like he's just like a, seems like a well-adjusted normal guy, and he's like, yeah, if I had all these fans, I don't want them hassling me. And I'm like, I want people to be like, hey man, that was great, you're hilarious, I love you. And
and it doesn't happen, like I'm not saying like I'm fucking,
do people message you online and go, Joe, I'm really depressed? And
they used to back in the day. This is when this was like when I like 19, 20, like when it first started. That was when it was like the preteens, like they were all about it, you know,
right?
I mean? So they, but I never entertained any of that because I find that very counterproductive.
There's nobody who's like, Joe, I'm on the 59th Street Bridge,
yeah, no.
I'm gonna blow my brains out, that I'm gonna jump. I don't know why you shoot yourself on a bridge, but it's weird, but it doesn't happen,
it doesn't happen anymore, but it used, it happened back then. But it doesn't happen because I've never entertained it. Like, I feel like these YouTubers, because
I what I'll do is I text, I message Cameron Dallas. And it's just a picture of me with a knife to my wrist. And I go, show me your cock
or I'll
kill myself. I'll do it. And he always writes back, do it. And it's
like very different than
strange. But so you don't get a lot of that.
No. I but like I said,
how many messages you get in a given week? You don't know.
I don't really.
You don't know.
Yeah. I just try to just.
You delete them?
No, I don't really delete. Like, you from just, where? What messages is on what?
Anything. Instagram, any. I mean, you have 500,000 followers. I get messages every week. And I have 5,000 followers. So I would imagine that you get people like, hey, love the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, okay. Stuff like that. I mean, tweets and stuff like that. Right. But there are days where I don't tweet at all. So it's like, it's much less than whatever. I mean, you know, I don't really know. I couldn't give you like an estimate, honestly.
Yeah. But so,
I mean, I'm trying to go on like a social media diet as well. Like, I don't want to be, I don't want to become consumed by my phone.
Now, you'll sell at Caroline's. And what do you do? Caroline's, for people don't know, is a comedy club in New York City. It's 300 seats. It's a lot of people coming. What do you do on stage? You do like a live podcast?
It was a live podcast, but I wanted to, for the first like 10, 15 minutes, just do like a stand-up routine.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what I did.
Did you do it?
Yeah.
How did it go?
I thought it went pretty well.
Okay. And I've heard that from a lot of people. A lot of people get off a stage, go, I think that was great. And I go, there wasn't a lot of laughing. I know, but they're sitting with the jokes and I'm sure it was fine because they're your people.
Right.
They're coming to see you.
Exactly. So it's
that's the dream.
Yeah. I also feel like I'm kind of like hard on myself when it comes to that. Like, that sucked. You know what I mean? If I put out a video and then 2 months later,
so you went up there and took the mic and everything, and were like, "I'm going to do 15 minutes."
Yeah.
Had you ever done stand up before?
No.
Wow.
No.
And that's ballsy.
I wanted to do it to just kind of see what it was about.
Will you ever do it again?
Honestly, maybe. But
okay.
Honestly, this is kind of like, I don't know what it is, but I kind of felt like I can do it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I never felt like I've never.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable here.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Or anything
right.
Like that.
Right.
Because that's another thing. A lot of stand-up comedians would tell me would be like, "Oh, it's a completely different thing and whatever," which it is. But at the same time, it's like I feel like I've been doing this for a long time.
So I think what the completely different thing angle, I think, is like if you go in a room, nobody knows who you are.
Yeah.
And
then you have to be funny.
And then it's also like 45 minutes. You know what I mean? Like when I go on the road, like I walk into Zany's or whatever, and it's like, you're going to do 50 minutes, 55 minutes, 50 minutes.
That's a lot.
And nobody knows who you are, and they don't care. And it's like, then you got to fight. So I think going up and doing like 10 minutes, I don't know how much of a different thing that is. I think a guy like you, you're personable, you're funny, you have insights. If you practiced, you could get good at it. But it's just like, to get good enough to do that long set.
Yeah.
And to keep generating material that was original and unique and stuff like that. And to relate to like, not so much your audience, but it'd be like 50-year-olds.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's maybe what's a different thing. But when you did it, were you like, oh, this is great? Like, this is easier than I thought, harder than I thought?
I didn't think it was easier than I thought. I think it was like kind of right there, like what I expected. You know what I mean? Like, this is a... But at the same time, like I said, I feel like I've been doing it for some time. Obviously not 50 minutes at a time, but... You know, I've been at parties or family gatherings where you're the center of attention. You have to tell a story.
Right.
And for the most part, everyone would consider me like a really good storyteller. Like I'm one
of
those
absolutely.
Like, I'm not going to tell it. You tell it.
No,
you know what
and
I mean?
People, right. And the people relate to you a lot.
Right.
You're a relatable guy. So you kind of go up there and you're like telling a story and people are like on board and they recognize you from,
I'm also at an advantage point where that'll never happen to me now.
Right.
Where I could, well, maybe it would if I just like snuck into some comedy club and was I'm going up.
Right.
But I mean, that would probably never happen because the Cubs going to be like, "You can you fucking tell people you're going
to
be here?"
Yeah, well, I mean, it might be interesting for you to go and try on a night when it's not your crowd and to just see what would happen.
Yeah.
It might be interesting.
Like that.
But that's painful. So if you go up and you're doing 10 minutes and it's like the crowd's like, who
fuck
the
you.
Fuck you? That's painful. And I've had that happen for an hour. Like I've bombed for 45 minutes. You know, where you're like, I got to do this time to get paid, but these people hate my guts.
Right.
You know, so that would be interesting for you to like maybe just sneak in to, and you might, it might be good. I don't know. You know, who knows? You know?
I feel like if I like put my head down and really focused on it, like I could do it.
Right.
It, it just never, I don't know. It's just like a, I don't know.
But
I don't
it's
know
also
why
like,
I never did it.
Well, it's also like you've found your thing that you're really good at. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like you're really good at this.
Yeah, because
you're really good at this.
The video thing is what I've been doing forever.
And that's what you got good at. So it's like whatever you get good at is what you do. And whatever you see success doing, you keep doing. You know? What does your girlfriend think about everything? When she introduced you to her parents, is she like, this is my boyfriend's a YouTube guy?
No.
She Italian?
She is part Italian.
Name's Rosalie.
She's not Rosalie. She's not that Italian.
Okay.
She's not like.
Is she
Italian
like?
Because
I don't see her in any of your stuff. Is that?
Yeah, that's
on purpose.
It's on purpose. Because she used to be in the beginning of our relationship.
Right.
And then it just got weird because people would be like, if I wasn't posting a picture with a couple of days, people were like, oh, what happened? Are you guys breaking up? Or what's going on? They'd comment on her shit and be like, hey, what is like? You know what I mean? And like that's weird. It's like. The people don't need to know that shit.
Right.
So I just like, you know, I'm
so you
like,
keep
I'm not
that separation.
Yeah. It's not, you know, that's not what I'm here for either. Like, you're not supposed to know. Like, I'm not going to post about personal shit that's going on with my family either. Like, you know what I mean? I don't care about your relationship. You shouldn't care about mine.
Right. Are you making enough money now where you're like able to help other people in your life? Because I feel like that is something that when I talk to some other people that are making a lot of money in comedy where they're like I can help my mom out. I can pitch in and be like, here's a new kitchen. I can do things for my family that I was not able to do. And that makes me feel good. Are you at that point? I would imagine.
Yeah, I am at that point. I would say that I feel like I'm very comfortable right now. Like,
yeah,
not to sound like a fucking pretentious asshole or anything.
No.
But it pays very well. And it's because I put certain eggs in certain baskets.
Sure.
And like, you know, so it's like there was money generating from six different things.
Right.
It wasn't just like, okay, this is YouTube, put your head down, do this. Like, I realized this has to fall off one day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And sometimes it has, and you got to
pick it back up. And what's interesting about the social media thing is that you guys, you really are like, when you do stand up, when you do a lot of these other things, you're like, you just put your head down and kind of get good, and then you hope that money comes.
Right.
But you and your model, which I think that stand up should take something from, apply more of, is like you start thinking about money and branding and marketing, like this, like who am I in the world and how do I maximize it, capitalize on all these different social networks and whatever.
Yeah, because I don't think I'm too good for anything. So I'm like, you know, and I feel like some stand up comedians feel that way. They're like, oh, I'm not doing YouTube because fuck that. Like, I do stand up comedy, it's more respected than doing funny videos on the internet.
Right.
So they're like, I'm not doing that. But for me, I'm like, I'll do everything across the board and try
not
to do my spin on it.
Yeah. I always say, I never judge what anyone does. I always try to do what I like. So I say to myself, like, I'm really good as a podcast guest. I'm good on podcasts. I'm really good live like that. It's, now I've gotten to a point where I'm really confident in my ability to do a 45 minute or an hour show live. Like that's something I've worked on. That's what I do. I don't do a ton of YouTube videos only because that I don't excel at that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's for me to sit down and like edit and everything like that. So I think people make choices based on like what their skills are. Should I do more? Probably. Like, should I, you know what I mean? Like, right. should I build that brand? Yeah, absolutely. And I think every stand-up should worry about their fan base more. I'm doing more of that now. Like, I'm doing the podcast, and I do a show on, like, this crazy live show on a tour bus twice a month in New York. And, like, I'm doing these things now. But so many stand-ups are just that they have that narrow focus on stand-up, which is not good. You got to exist in the world.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of pride in that, too. Like, I'm not going to be... They're afraid of being called a hacker. Like, they're afraid of,
100%.
Like, now you're nice fucking Twitter account or some right. shit. Like, you're tweeting out your jokes or something.
It's
all right, but at the same time, it's like I'm trying to, because, you know,
you don't
at any
care.
Point,
so
you could go viral on any social
you
media.
You don't
presence.
Care if you are looked at as one of these, like, you don't care if you're, like, the press or the comedy blogs or these people ever notice or recognize what you're doing. You're kind of like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, I don't care because right. I want to like it. You
right.
know what I mean? And that's,
right.
and that's worked for me, that
yeah.
that idea.
Because
like,
a lot of comedians care about the opinions of other comedians.
Yeah, I don't.
Which I even do to an extent. Like, I don't want Louis C.K. to see me and go, this guy sucks.
See, I just right. assume that all these people that I look up to don't, they're like, you're taking the easy route in a
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I assume that already. But at the same time, I feel like if they just gave it a shot, like if I were to lay out like...
For Louis? If you sat down with Louis and you're like,
no,
why
him,
don't you
there's
do,
no way I'm getting Louis. There's
why
no
don't
way.
You... Yeah, but like, so, but you don't... It doesn't matter to you, which is great. I think there's something about that that I respect. You just go, I don't give a fuck what you think of what I'm doing.
I don't think that should matter. Because I right. think that, you know, with comedy and
yeah.
stuff, it's just... it's laughter. Like,
right.
if people are laughing, it's
yeah, yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As long as there's not this weird, like, YouTuber brainwash thing going
right.
on
yeah.
with these young girls. Like, I have never, well, maybe in the very beginning, but for the most part, have never made content geared towards any type of audience. It was just
right.
like, I think this is funny. I think
right.
it's good. I'm putting it out. And if people don't like it, all
right.
Right. Fuck it. Like, whatever. But I'm still going to do it.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of comes through with my
yeah.
videos and people get it.
Right.
So, and it's not always, like, obviously, like, the Mad Libs videos, which is
yeah.
a very, people would say, hacky thing to do,
yeah.
which, if some comedian who I looked up to saw that video was the first one to be like, fuck this kid.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But
yeah.
to me, that is still entertaining, because, like, when I shoot those videos
yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
and I, like, watch them, like, they're hilarious to me, and, like, if I could sit down with my family and we'll put that on, it's, like, just funny to see, like, this shit happening.
Yeah.
But it's not something that I'm necessarily, like, oh, I worked so hard on this, and this is like,
right.
but it is a form of entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all I'm about is like, I just want people to like see it and have fun and laugh in
right.
a bunch of different ways.
Yeah. Have you ever encountered people? You said when you did the podcast with Kate Wolf, kind of people were kind of dicks.
They weren't really dicks.
Right.
I could just feel a vibe.
You could feel a vibe.
Because Kate, you know how Kate is, like, she's
yeah.
the compliment queen. So she'd be like, he's got 500,000 views in
right.
a day, and
right.
and I could just tell that it's just like, Kate, why are you saying this right now?
You know? Do you ever want to make something, for example, that like, do you ever want to make something that like is stands the test of time, where it's kind of like somebody would look at it 10 years from now and be like, this is really good still. Like the way we watch The Godfather, or like,
right.
I mean, that's an extreme example, but like, is there, because so much of social media is transactional, like in the moment, is there any part of you that goes, I want to do something that like is around and really good in 5 years or 10 years, or like I want people to, or maybe even after I die, like I want people to look back at that and be like, that's a great example of whatever.
Yeah. So the scripted series is what that would be, because
yeah.
with YouTube, I have to do it weekly. And
right.
You know what's funny? You know Matt Pavage.
Yes. Yeah. Great.
He lives up the block from me.
Great
so
dude.
He was very honest with me. And
I also,
totally
I've always said to Matt that he should try comedy. And I always believe that, you know, that would be a great thing for him to try one day if he wants to. I've seen him on stage several times, but if he would have... No, I love him. I love him. I'm kidding around. I love him.
Yeah. So he lives up the block.
I think he's great. I love James Manzello, that whole little group.
Yeah. And
yeah.
the handsome dancer thing they're doing, I think
it's
that's
hilarious.
It was good.
It's great.
So
all those guys are great.
They, you know... he lived up the block for me. I've known him my entire life.
Right.
And he was very honest with me when we were talking about it one day. And he was saying, like, when you first started, like, coming up,
yeah,
he was fucking furious. Like, yo, fuck this kid.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm out there working two jobs and then doing shows
right.
every night. And
yeah.
he's just, like, blowing up talking about fucking
right.
Instagram.
Right,
or whatever.
Right.
And he's like, but then, like, you know, over time, I'm like, all right, this kid's putting out a new video every single week. It's like new content you got to come up with.
100%.
So it's like, that is hard. You know what I mean? And not that it was all good.
Right.
You know, because I would say just less than majority is like stuff I'm super proud of.
Right.
But at the time, I won't put out a video if I don't think it's like entertaining or like good.
Yeah.
But obviously, over time, you're like, you look back and like, that fucking sucks.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
So, but yeah, he was the person who was telling me like, yo, like, it takes... There's something in that you do it every single week.
Absolutely.
So
the you're prolific in that arena. Like you keep churning stuff out.
Yeah.
And do you think that the criticism of some people on YouTube is like, it's a lot of the people on YouTube are like, yeah, it's I have to just put something out. It doesn't have to be good. It just has to be there. And it's all about the amount of this content and not necessarily the quality of it.
Right. And I feel that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if I, like the only thing holding me back from just not uploading anything for an entire month and then working on something in that month,
right,
putting out like a dope thing is that people could forget about you like this.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't think I have that luxury. Maybe I do.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I do. And to just do that.
Do you ever look at your stuff and go, I want to get more confessional, more personal. I want people to know more about me.
No. I don't think, you know, I'm not going to be that guy that's like, you know, my fans, you've been there for me from the thick and thin. And
yeah.
You guys are everything. I love
you
guys. Like, I'm not that guy. I'm there purely. This is like an exchange of like, if I'm trying to entertain you.
Right.
If that's not working, like,
right,
the views should drop. Like, don't do me a favor.
Right.
You know
right
what I mean?
Right.
So, like, that. I don't know. I'm never going to be that guy.
Right. Do you ever want anyone to take anything away from the videos other than just laughing?
I do want it to be on some level like inspirational to the fact that it's like, all right, this kid is not doing anything spectacular.
Right.
He's just, you know, he just has been working on this for so long and getting better at editing, getting better at telling jokes and delivery and whatever, that you don't need all the bells and whistles. You don't need to do these little challenge videos. You can just sit with a camera and just do your thing. And if you're good, you're good.
It's the work ethic.
Yeah, which I don't even think I have.
Really?
I tell people
But you do.
Like, but it doesn't.
You're
like,
very humble, but you do.
But I don't think I do because, like, first
you
of all,
have
that
some,
is
something's going on.
Something. I think it's
because
just
because you have. He's like, I don't have
no
work.
Good qualities.
I don't have the ethic. I don't know what I'm doing. I just put up a camera every now and then, and maybe people 1.8 million watch it. I guess.
No, but
I don't even know. I just do it for fun, and I like garlic knots and queens, and
love garlic.
I hate Hollywood, and I don't. But it's you. But that's your thing, which is great. But like, you got something. You are working hard.
But a lot of
how
it is...
How long are you in the game now? Since what, 2012?
Yeah, something like that.
5 years?
Yeah.
Consistent. Video a week for 5 years?
For the most part.
And now more. The last couple of years, more.
Well, that's because...
Two podcasts.
I felt guilty.
Because
I was
you were doing
like,
so well with nothing. You're like, I got to keep... Yeah.
Yeah. I to this day, will say that I'm overpaid. Because it's... But... So at the time, I was just like...
Are you having seven-figure years or not yet?
No.
Okay.
But close.
Yeah.
So it's
Great.
So I'm like...
Did you hear that? There's a lot of comedians listening right now with the barrel of a gun in your mouth. Put it deeper in. I want you to put it deeper in. Because as much as I'm also jealous of him, I hate you more. Do you understand that? Because you're in my way. He's not in my way. We're in different arenas. You're in my... No. So, but close.
Right.
Close to a million a year. It's great.
So, I don't even know what we were talking about. I was making this money and I was just kind of like, I feel like I'm not doing enough. Like, you know what I mean? Because I'm not oblivious to the fact that I am not working nearly as hard as anyone else. Which I used to. Because I was working... A 9-to-5 job.
At a pizzeria.
No. I worked at Elite Daily. I was working a 9-to-5 job, and then, like, I would go to the gym in the morning, work a 9-to-5 job, and then I would go do podcasts, like, in the city uptown, and then I'd come back home, and then I would have to make a video.
Right.
And try to pump stuff out. So I was working all day, and, like, whatever. That's my... That's what I hold dear.
Yeah.
Like, I used to work hard.
Yeah.
But then I built out all these other things to be like, you know, if you're gonna do a video... Because I shoot and edit my videos in one day.
Right.
So it's only Tuesday. I do spend the entire week, like a lot of the creative process is in your heads. It's not physical.
Do you ever look at like one of your uncles who's like busting his ass doing something and you're just like making 8 times his income and you're just broadcasting? And how does that feel? Are you just like, man, I figured something out? Is there part of you that's guilty where you're like, ugh?
I do, like, I swear to God, I'm not just trying to be humble. I really do feel that sometimes.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
Where I'm like, I feel guilty that I'm doing this. But at the same time, this is going to, again, sound incredibly just like, oh, it's not a big deal, whatever. But to me,
right.
I guess at this point, it's easier to say.
Right.
But in the beginning, I've always felt this way, that $40,000 a year is like good enough.
Yeah. Well, it is now.
But I'm saying, like, I always felt that way, that like because I don't have like nice shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
that's part of the thing is like the white tee.
But
right?
That's just like, because I don't know how to be anything else.
Yeah. Right. So
it's like, I'm not like buying nice cars.
At a certain point, does making close to $1 million a year and not having that stuff become weird? Because like, because Warren Buffett, for example, is worth, I don't know, 80 billion, 77 billion,
right.
And he still lives in the same house he grew up in.
Right.
To me, that's a put on. Like, I'm like, oh, that's a, you're doing a thing. Like, he's like, I'm just an old little man.
I'm just very humble.
In the diner, and
happy
I just
to be here.
Own Berkshire Hathaway, which owns everything.
Right.
And I'm just a quaint little folksy guy. So at a certain point, does it feel fake to not have nice things?
I can see how that's the case. I do have a very nice apartment.
Right.
Which is like, you know, because I work out of there, I spend a lot of time there. So I'm like, all right, this I can spend money on. But like my car payment with...
What kind of car do you have?
I have a Mazda 3. With a...
A Mazda 3?
Yep.
A Mazda 3.
My insurance and car payment is like $350.
Wow.
Some of my
You're
friends
smart.
Have, most of my friends have way better cars than I
right.
do.
Right, yeah.
And I have no interest in getting a car.
Right.
Or like I have no interest in designer clothes. Or
yeah. Okay.
And that's not because I'm homeless. Just like, that's never
just
got
your
into
thing.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I didn't like wearing jeans up until I was like 15.
Right.
Like all I did was play sports when I was younger.
Right.
Just the...
So you wore like what? Sweatpants?
Basketball shorts.
Yeah. So
I refuse. Even these shorts I'm wearing right now, like these
right.
cargo shorts, I hate wearing them.
Right.
I don't wear them on like a day that I'm not going somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, are your parents amazed by like how well you're doing? Do you let them know how well you're doing?
They know how well I'm doing. Well, because I that's another thing, like I'm saying, like what I was talking about before, where the money is very extra to me.
Yeah.
And of course, I have that luxury to act that way right now.
Right.
And just act like it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it's really not. And I like helping people and doing
Do you
that.
Help your family? Will you give them stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. But that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So that's great.
Yeah. I mean, they deserve it. I mean,
yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
Like, they supported me when I was like, hey, I'm dropping out of college. How you
yeah,
doing?
Yeah, yeah,
you
know yeah. Right.
I mean?
Okay. So, but so, that's, you're a generally good guy. And when I talk, like, I've a few people in comedy know you. I'm like, he's such a good guy that you know, because our default is to be jealous or angry.
Right.
But it's never my default because I'm more curious. So I think if you're a genuinely curious person, you're not so much. I think a lot of people don't want to understand things and just either get angry at them, or because I understand that, like, oh, what you did is something that I couldn't have done. I'm doing a thing that you can't do,
mm-hmm.
but it's like people have different things that they're doing, and at the end of the day, mine might end up being incredibly profitable. I don't
right.
know. You know what I mean? It may not. It probably won't. But who knows? You don't know. But so to me, I'm always like, you do what you enjoy. I love performing
right.
live and everything like that. But there are people, and I'm curious. So when I see these social media guys, I'm like, just take me into this world. How does this all happen? That's what I'm curious. And what I'm hearing is that it's a lot of consistency.
Right.
And it's doing things, and it's not worrying about everything being the best.
Well, that's not always the case. I feel like
right.
I'm a rare case
yeah.
of how it worked out, because a lot of people don't do what I do.
Right.
I don't know anyone who really does the exact kind of thing. I think I filled a void, and that's why it kind of worked out in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because there was no like just fucking kid from Queens cursing and talking
YouTube.
About sluts and shit.
Right.
It was just kind of like very nice child
right.
shit.
Right.
So that's why it just was just there, and
yeah.
you know, sketch comedy was kind of dying at the time as well, so it was just like
yeah.
I came in at the right time.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know where I was going with
it's
that.
It's interesting, dude. What?
Oh, but yeah. What you're saying, where you're curious. I'm the same way. Like, I don't look at people like I hate them or whatever, because if anyone's successful, there's something to offer there.
Yeah.
People talk about Kim Kardashian all the time, how like, oh, she's famous, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I'm like, people suck dick on camera all the time, but they're not worth $150 million.
No, she's done something. She figured it out.
There's something there. You could learn something from anybody.
She figured something out.
Right.
So to me, I love to sit down. That's why I had you in, because I'm like, I want to sit down people that have figured something out.
Right.
And I don't care what it is. Human trafficking. Fine.
Want to know how you
Tell
did
me
it.
How you did it.
How did you cover that up?
How did you get there? So what is, just to kind of finish up, what's on the horizon for you that you're excited about? Does it ever feel boring? Just like, I just keep making these videos, and like, it's kind of, does it ever get old or annoying? I guess not when you're making the kind of money, but like, do you want to like challenge yourself in other ways? Do you ever go like, well, I'm good at this, but now I want to get good at this?
Yeah. And to be honest with you, very recently, it's gotten not boring to me, but it's not fulfilling anymore.
Absolutely.
Because I think I've reached a point where it's like, all right, I can do this, but I want to make shit that people respect, I guess. I don't know. Like,
Are you having that moment where you're like, I kind of want to...
I just want to show people what I can do. You know what I mean?
Right.
And with the scripted series, like, I want to write something and have it be so good that for all the people who are like, he can't do this, he can't do that, he's just good at this YouTube shit. It's like, no, this is a good
fucking
show. So
even when you're making close to $1 million a year, you still, on some level, go, I want to do something that somebody respects. Like, I do want...
Yeah.
I do want that.
Yeah. I mean, that's literally the only thing that matters. Like, I like just building things from the ground up and having people be, like, proud of you and looking up and being like, yo, I can't believe you did that too. Like,
right.
And I've always wanted to like inspire people.
Because they're
too,
both impressive things. So building from the ground up and building the platform is impressive. That's its own thing. And now you're kind of getting to the point where you're like, well, that I've been fulfilled from that.
Right.
But now I want to be fulfilled from being able to do something that I can really like kind of stand behind and go like, this is something that people are going to be like, wow, this is really great.
Yeah, because I can't just do the same thing forever. You know what I mean? And who's to say this isn't going to run out one day? So why not try when while you're here, and no matter what you put out at this point, people are going to watch. Why not try this other thing that you do have time for?
Yeah.
And you can get good at, so that if this thing tanks, you're right there with something new.
So you're working on the scripted series?
Not nearly as much as I should have, but
okay.
I am coming to the point where I'm just like, I need something else.
You know
what I mean? Because like I said, it's not fulfilling.
Right.
You're growing. Right.
You're growing. And you're like, I want my work to kind of reflect that.
I want to make things that people can't ignore, because it's nice. People can ignore a YouTube video and just be like, you're putting one out every week. Like, I don't fucking care.
You
know what I mean? It's basically all the same
shit. What do you have to change about your life to start making things that people can't ignore? Like, what do you think you would have to do? Is it what?
Work ethic.
Okay.
Because I don't know why, but I'm just incapable of just sitting down and just working on something for like 4 hours straight.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do it.
Because you also, you know, you live in this world of clips, 2 to 3 minute things.
Yeah. Right. It's just, I guess it's from that.
And dude,
I'm
the same way, where it's kind of like, I do a lot of stand up because I'm used to that instant feedback and instant gratification, but it's very hard for me to like work on a 28 page pilot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's kind of like, whatever it is, it's harder for me.
Yeah. I can't just like sit there and like do that. I'm almost like, I'm very confident in myself too, that I can doubt in my mind write a hilarious series.
Now, so where does that, so that's interesting, because you've never done it before.
No.
So where does that confidence come from? Where you go,
I've always had that.
Right. So that's the fascinating part. And that's what I think is interesting. So you just go, I can, it's like what you said about stand up. You're just kind of, because I do think a lot of this is like confidence in an odd way, where it's kind of like, I can just do stand, even though you never did it before, you're like, I can do it. And with the script, you're like, I'll do it, and it'll be hilarious. But that's interesting, because you've never done it before.
Right.
So where does that come from? It's just this faith or belief in...
I've always been like that. Like, there have been times where, like, I even nothing about that. Like,
right.
There would be times where,
You know, because I would argue that's more important in our society, you have, than being good at something.
I tell people that all the time. Think that, I mean, not to sound like a fucking whatever.
Yeah.
Kate Wolf.
Right.
But I think that's like the key to success is being confident in yourself. I just watched, you know TJ Miller?
Yeah, of course.
Obviously.
Yeah.
His stand-up, I just watched, I think it's on HBO.
Yeah.
And I wasn't necessarily a fan of the stand-up material.
Yeah.
But he has such like a confident presence on stage that I was like, this is incredible to watch. Like, I could feel it.
Right.
And I think that is why that dude is successful. He's a funny guy. He's hilarious.
Right.
Particular stand-up I wasn't a huge fan of, but I was like, it's just, you could just tell when people are confident in themselves and people are just like, most people are sheep. They'll just follow you and be like,
and
yeah,
see, that's
right.
Amazing. And that's the one thing I think in our society that people kind of lack is, and some of them for good reason, is really that confidence to just go, fuck it, I'm gonna do it and it's gonna be good.
You also have to be real with yourself as well. So if you're not good, you're not good, dude. Like, don't be one of these people on the first days of American Idol.
And you might find that if you write it as a series, they might go, okay, yeah, parts of it are funny, but you need to do this, this, and this.
Right.
Like, it's not what we need it to be.
Yeah.
And you learn, and then like YouTube, you keep doing it.
Yeah.
And then you just get good at it.
I think the most important thing is like, you have to be confident in yourself that you can do it. You can't have an ego when it comes to like receiving criticism. Like, this person's saying this for a reason.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I think those two things are like the most important things in the world, because I'm not afraid to get information from anybody.
Yeah.
I don't care if they have 1,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Doesn't matter. They
if
might
they're
have,
good, they're good to me.
They might have something that you can benefit from.
Yeah.
Understand.
I'll take information from anybody. Like, I'm not like, oh, don't talk to me. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. No, look, tell me everything. I want to know.
Look up, just before we go, look at how many subscribers I have on YouTube, because it really is phenomenal. I'm really proud of what I've built here. Just go to Tim Dillon. I don't even know if I have a channel. Go to Tim Dillon and see how many subscribers I have on YouTube. And just last question for you while he finds that. Does it hurt you at all that you are a very influential member of the American Nazi Party?
It doesn't.
Yeah, interesting.
I try to cover that up as much as possible. People don't really know that about me.
Mad libs.
Yeah, just
doing some mad. Do I have a YouTube channel?
Yes, you do.
Do I? How many subscribers do I have?
You have 74 subscribers.
Thank you. And you know what? And they're all dead. They're all dead. And that's what you subscribe and you die. It's like The Ring.
Right.
I have nothing on my. What do I have? 2 videos. Well, that's nice.
You have your Gotham Comedy Live.
Oh, from 3 years ago.
And it looks like a clip from this podcast.
Oh, great. Well, that's good. Folks, if people want to listen to your podcast, because it needs a lot of help, you know, it's really struggling. It's only like the third most listened to in the fucking country. It's like you, the two dope queens, guys we fucked, and then Joe Rogan interviewing a neuroscientist for 5 hours about fucking, you know, what his brain secretes. It's the Basement Yard Podcast.
Right.
At Joe Santagato on Twitter. What are your things? Give it everyone
your things. Everything is just my name. At Joe Santagato for
just find anything. Joe Santagato. He's out there.
He's out there.
And listen, live dates, timdillancomedy.com. Zany's in Chicago in July. The Loft in Lansing, Michigan in July. Please come out 19th to the 22nd at Zany's. Loft in Lansing, Michigan on the 23rd. I'm at Dead Crow Comedy Club in Wilmington, North Carolina in August. Also, Mohegan Sun in August in Connecticut, if you're there. And then September, I'll be at the DC Improv in Washington, D.C. Tim J. Dillon, D-I-L-L-O-N on Twitter and Facebook. I mean, not Facebook, Tim Dillon on Facebook, but Twitter and Instagram. And come out to live shows. Please say hello. Subscribe to us on YouTube, on iTunes, rate us, review us, whatever. And thank you for coming in. I appreciate it. Do you do a lot of podcasts, or is this?
I don't, but like, I don't get asked to do them.
Yeah. No, I mean, this was an interesting journey to like figure out, because you're the close. I've tried to get Cameron, and he's a WME client, and I've tried.
I would pay $200 to watch. Just stand in this room and just watch you talk to him.
It would be interesting.
I feel like he would just melt.
All I would talk about is Trump and Russia. I'd be like, CIA has an agenda,
like,
Cameron.
I know you know this stuff.
Yeah. No, but it would be interesting to sit down with a guy like that. I would imagine a guy like that is just completely like on another planet.
There's nothing there.
Well, he's on another planet.
Oh, yeah.
To be that good looking and that success, like at a certain point.
They're very out of touch.
Yeah, at
it's
a certain
hard
point
to be around it.
Yeah, at a certain point, it's like there's nothing tethering them to reality.
Yeah, it's
on
just,
any level. Like even the big comics, they have to walk into a room and get feedback from people that may hate them. You know?
Yeah.
Louis got to go and have a rough set.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart, any of these big guys. But those guys who kind of live in that insular bubble, they live in that world. They never have to really come in contact with people that have like a different opinion.
Right.
You know?
Everyone who's, any show they're doing now.
They could just online, and online you could kind of ignore it. Do people hate you ever?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And what form does that take?
What do you mean?
Like, do people send you messages like, you suck, or fuck you?
Yeah, when I was first coming up, like, it was like 2012, a lot of people like that I went to high school with that were a year younger than me.
Yeah.
And like in certain neighborhoods were like, oh, fuck this kid, fag, you're gay.
Yeah.
You think you're better than people. And I was like, I'm not even like responding to these people. I'm just like, I'm just putting up these videos.
And now you're making close to $1 million a year, and those fuckers, what are they doing? They're working at some fucking mortgage brokerage for their uncle. What a life.
Who knows?
Listen, everybody, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
No problem. It was fun.
All right, bye.